bow in a word of prayer and let's just commit this Bible study into the Lord's hands. Lord, we're just so thankful for tonight, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house once again. Thank you, Lord, that, man, we made it in 2018, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for 2018. We're thankful, Lord, that you protected us, Lord. You watched over us. You provided for all our needs. And here we are, Lord, beginning a new year. And we're really beginning it the right way, Lord, in your house, just praying with the family, worshiping, and now studying your word. And we just ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, during 2019. Lord, we want to be faithful, Lord, during this year. We want to take our walk with you to that next level, Lord. We want to grow in your grace, in your knowledge. And so we pray, Lord, from the beginning that you would help us, Lord. We recognize that we do need help, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that at times we do slack it, that at times, Lord, we do put you to the side and don't put you first like we should. And we need help, Lord. We need grace, Lord. That's why we're here, Lord. We're not here because we have it all figured out, Lord. We're not here because we're perfect, Lord. I know I'm not perfect, Lord, but I'm here because I need you, Lord. I need more of you, Lord, more of your presence, Lord, more of your grace in my life. And so we pray that you would help us, Lord. We commit this new year into your hands. And we ask, Lord, that you would start tonight, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, and that you would just come and speak to us, encourage us, challenge us through your word, Lord, that you would do that work that only you can do, Lord. That's our prayer, Lord, and we ask all of it in your precious name. And all of the family says, amen, amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and turn with me to chapter 22. And to begin our study tonight, we're going to be looking at two verses, verses 12 through 13, Revelation 22, and we're going to be beginning with verses 12 and 13. This evening, I want to share with you a small Bible study that I had the opportunity to share a few weeks ago to our Spanish congregation, and the Lord really used this study, these scriptures, to speak to my life and to really challenge me and encourage me as we begin a new year. And the Lord just put it in my heart to share it with you guys tonight. And so we'll begin there in verse 12 of Revelation 22. And let's just read all the way down to verse 13, two verses. And when you have a fam, you can let me know by saying amen. Amen. Or everybody's still saying no man, right? If you're in Genesis, you're in the wrong spot, all right? You're off by 65 books, right? Got to keep going right. Last book, Revelation. Let's begin. Chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. This is what the Lord Jesus says. He says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, or other translation says, bringing my reward with me to repay each one for what he has done. Then notice verse 13. The Lord says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And all of God's people who agree that this is the word of the Lord, declare amen. Amen. Thank you, fam. God bless you. Tonight, fam, I've titled our Bible study, Simply the Last Words of Jesus. The Last Words of Jesus. Here in Revelation chapter 22, we find what we call the last words of Jesus recorded in the Word of God. It's interesting, but the last words of Jesus are not found in the upper room after his resurrection, or they're not even found when he gives the Great Commission right before his ascension. But according to the Bible, the last words that Jesus gives are found here in Revelation 22, when Jesus tells us, behold, I am coming soon, I am coming quickly, bringing with me my reward. those are the last words that Jesus shares with his church. Now, as you all know, a few weeks ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus. We just finished with the holiday season, and we took the time to remember and celebrate the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and just like God promised in his word, he sent his son, the Messiah, into this world, and Jesus came, and Jesus completed, he fulfilled God's plan of redemption. And a few weeks ago, we just celebrated the first coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. However, it's important that we all understand that the story doesn't end with the first coming of Jesus. Praise God for Christmas. Praise God for the birth of Messiah. That changed everything. That changed the world forever. It changed our life forever. But it's important that we understand that God's story doesn't end with Christmas. It doesn't end with the first coming. But one day, the Bible teaches us Jesus is going to return. One day, Jesus is going to come again in the clouds with great power, with great glory, and he's going to come for his people, and he's going to come to reward his people. And so we just celebrated the first coming, and praise God for that. But it's important that we remember, that we understand that another coming is coming. That one day Jesus is coming back for his people. And literally, as the Bible ends, as the canon closes, that's the last thing Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is coming with me. Those are the last words that Jesus shares for his church. These are the last words that Jesus wants us to understand, that he's coming back soon. Jesus is returning soon, and his reward is coming with him. These are the last words for the church from Jesus. And so what I want to do this evening is I want us to talk about these last words that Jesus gives his church. And I want to talk a little bit about the return of Christ. And I want to talk a little bit about the reward that's going to be coming with the Lord. And so this is what we're going to do, fam. We're just going to focus our attention in verses 12 and 13 here in Revelation 22. And like always, I just want to give you some points. I'm going to give you some headings. I'm going to kind of divide and break up the text for you, help you understand first what it all means, what Jesus is saying here, and then how it applies to our lives, what it means for our hearts this evening. Amen, fam? Everybody okay with that? Or if you're not, I'm still going to do it, amen. You're okay with it because you wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't okay with it, right? And so let's begin. I got three headings, but for sure I want to focus on the first two headings. If we still have time, I'll give you the last one. But these first two ones, the Lord has really been speaking to my heart on them. And so I want to give them to you. And so notice first, in the first part of verse 12, notice first Jesus gives us a promise concerning his return. And so the first thing we see here is the promise of the return of Christ. The promise by Jesus concerning his return. And notice again in verse 12, notice how Jesus begins the verse. He says, behold, I am coming soon. Now, depending on what translation you're using, depending on what version of the Bible you're using tonight, possibly those words are written in red in your Bible. They're called red letters, red letter edition. Possibly you have a Bible that those words are red. Anybody have red letters there a few of us, some of us. Now, the reason why they're red is because the translators want you to understand, and they want me to understand, that for these verses, for these words, Jesus himself is speaking. In other words, these words are given from the perspective of Jesus. Jesus kind of cuts in to the text. He cuts in to the book. And now he himself is speaking to us. Now remember, the author is the Apostle John. He's on the island of Patmos, and God is just giving him the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he's seeing different visions, and he's receiving different revelations. And John is writing everything down as the Holy Spirit inspires him. But now, for a moment, it's almost like Jesus grabs the pen from the hand of John, and Jesus himself begins to write. That's almost the idea there. And Jesus himself, now he cuts into the book, cuts into the letter, and now Jesus himself speaks. He gives us a word. And notice the first thing Jesus says is, behold, behold. Now when you read that in English, behold, the chances are it doesn't mean too much. You know, you kind of just read it and you think to yourself, okay, behold, or pay attention. But if you actually read it in the Greek language, which would have been the language that John would have written in, it's actually a very strong word. It's a powerful word. Probably the best way to translate it would be, don't miss this. Don't miss this. That's literally what Jesus is saying there. He's saying, hey, this is important. Behold, pay attention. Don't miss this. What I'm about to tell you is so important that you cannot afford to miss it. That's literally what the word behold means. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit wants to grab you by the shoulders and shake you up and say, hey, you can't miss this. You cannot miss this. Pay attention while you're reading this. Focus. Focus what I'm about to tell you. Don't miss this. It's too important. That's literally the idea there. Behold. And then notice, what's the next words that Jesus says? Read them again. He says, I am coming soon. Jesus now promises us that one day he is going to return. Now let's talk a little bit about this promise. And the first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus gives this promise in what we call the present tense. The present tense. Notice that he says, I am coming soon. That's written in what we call the present tense. And literally the idea is that Jesus is saying, I'm already coming. I'm already on the road. I'm already heading in your direction. Literally, the way you should read that is, I am already in the process of coming. Notice he doesn't say, I will come. Doesn't say that. Or he doesn't say, one day I might come. Doesn't say that. That's not how he says it. But he says, I am coming soon. What the Lord is emphasizing is the imminence of his return. He wants us to understand that literally he's at the door. His hand is on the doorknob, and he's already in the process of coming. It's almost as if the Lord is telling us, I'm already there. I'm almost there. I'm about to come. I am coming soon. Now, I want to show you something really, really interesting in verse 7. Look with me in verse 7. there in Revelation 22. Because what Jesus does in this last chapter is he wants to emphasize the imminence of his return. He wants us to understand that we don't have too much time left, but he's already in the process of coming. And so what Jesus does is he does what any speaker, any orator would have done in the first century. He repeats what he wants to emphasize. When you want to emphasize something, what do? You repeat it, right? Amen. Wives, you know what I'm talking about. When you're talking to your husband, you tell him to take out the trash. I guarantee you don't say it just once. You say it like two or three times because you're emphasizing it. It's important. You don't want your husband to miss it. And so you got to tell him over and over, hey, take out the trash or go do this. Or husbands, you tell your wife. Well, wives, you only got to tell once, right? No, I'm just kidding. You know, fix me lunch, please. And there, the sandwich is already ready, right? So Jesus, notice what he does, okay? Notice first in verse 7, Revelation 22. He says, and behold, I am what, fam? Coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And so there we see just says, I'm coming soon. But then notice again in verse 12, notice what Jesus says again. He says, behold, I am coming soon. Another repetition, another declaration of his imminent return. I'm coming soon. But then notice in verse 20, notice again what the Lord says in verse 20. He says, he who testifies to the things says, surely I am coming soon. And so on three different occasions, what is Jesus telling us? He's telling us, I'm coming and I'm coming soon. And Jesus wants you to read that and he wants you to understand there's not too much time. Just think, this is the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible, the last words that the Lord Jesus gives to his church. And on three different occasions, Jesus is saying, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. It's like the Lord is shaking us tonight and says, hey, listen to this. You can't miss this. Wake up, wake up. You don't have as much time as you think you do. I am coming soon. Now, notice again in verse 12, the word soon literally means without delay. Without delay. Or with rapid speed. With rapid speed. And literally the idea there is Jesus is ready to explode on the world scene. He's ready to enter the world scene. And when he does, it's going to be like in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to be without delay. That's the idea there, that when Jesus appears and when Jesus enters into the world scene, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. Without delay. It's going to be with rapid speed. He's coming back. He says, I'm coming soon. And the idea is on that day, there's no time to prepare. On that day, there's no time to pray. On that day, there's no time to get right with God. On that day, there's no time to drive to a church and to meet with a pastor or to hear a Bible study. But the idea is you're either ready or not ready, because I'm coming soon. I'm coming without delay. There's not going to be no warning. There's not going to be an alarm that's going to go off first. You're not going to get a 5-minute delay on that day. You're either ready or not ready, because he's coming without delay. I'm coming soon. Now, As we study the New Testament, what we find is this idea that Jesus is coming soon. It's always coming up over and over again. That's one of the main messages of the apostles, that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. And this is what the New Testament does. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit, he literally gives us pictures, illustrations, in order that we can understand just how soon Jesus is coming. The Holy Spirit understands how we are built, how we work. And a lot of times we need to see it. We need illustrations. We need pictures to understand things better. And so we find different pictures of that day when Jesus comes back. And the Holy Spirit wants us to understand it's going to be fast. It's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. And either you're ready or you're not ready. And I want to give you some examples. We have some time. Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 5, verse 9. James chapter 5, verse 9. And the picture we have here of the Lord's return is the picture of a judge who is before a door. A judge who is before a door. A judge who is standing before the door. And notice what James says. James chapter 5, verse 9. He says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged." And then notice what he says. He says, "Behold," remember what we learned, the idea there is pay attention. You can't miss this. It's too important. "Behold," notice then what he says, "the judge is standing at the door." The judge is standing at the door. Now this is the idea. This is the picture James is giving us. Jesus is the judge of all the universe. He is the judge of all judges. And Jesus is already standing at the door. And literally the picture is he's already gotten up from his throne. He's already walked across the throne room. And he is standing right before the door. And the picture is his hand is on the doorknob. And he is ready to open the door and to enter this world. And like a judge, he's ready to judge. He will bring judgment. He will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not going to come to play games. He's not going to come as a baby in a manger. But he's coming as a judge. And literally James says he's at the door. He's standing in front of the door. His hand is on the doorknob. And he's about to walk in. And James wants us to understand that. He wants you to see that picture that the judge is at the door with his hand on the doorknob, and soon he will open the door and he will return and he will bring judgment. And so we get this picture of a judge standing at the door. Now let me give you another picture. Turn with me to now 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Because another picture that we get of the Lord's return is the picture of a thief in the night. And that's a very, very common picture that we have of Jesus' return. That when Jesus comes, he's going to come as a thief in the night. And notice what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That when Jesus comes back, he's coming back like a thief in the night. Now, this is the idea. This is the picture here. When Jesus comes back, he's going to come back when nobody is expecting him. That's a picture of a thief. You don't expect a thief to come. You're not waiting. You're not watching. You're not awake. But when does the thief come? He comes when everyone's asleep. He comes when everybody is off guard. He comes when everyone is not watching, not waiting, not expecting him to come. And the thief literally goes into the house and he grabs what is valuable to him, and then he's out. He's gone. And that's the picture that Paul gives us, that when Jesus comes back, he's coming like a thief in the night. He's going to come when everyone is sleeping. He's going to come when everyone is distracted. He's going to come when we least expect him to come. And he's going to enter this world. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to grab what's valuable to him, his church. He's going to snatch his church. He's going to grab his church, and then he's going to take us. He's going to leave this house. He's going to return to his Father's house with his church. But he's coming like a thief in the night when nobody's expecting him, when people are distracted, when people are sleeping, just like that. Jesus is going to come. Now, let me give you one more picture that we get. And I want you to turn with me now to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus promises us he's coming back, and he tells us, I'm coming soon. I'm coming without delay. And literally in the New Testament, we learn that some of the pictures are as a judge who's standing at the door, as a thief in the night, he'll come. But now notice here in John 14 that the picture we now get is of a bridegroom coming for his bride, as a bridegroom coming for his bride to take her home. And look at what Jesus says. Let not your hearts be troubled. What a statement by the Lord. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I guarantee you tonight, there's some hearts that are troubled. I guarantee you that at least one person tonight has come with a troubled heart. You're burdened. You're stressed out. There's something going on in your life that's robbing you from peace. You don't have peace and you're troubled. And you come tonight and Jesus tells you, let not your heart be troubled. And then notice what he says, believe in God, believe also in me. And then here's the promise, here's the picture. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And so this is the picture here. It's a picture of a bridegroom who has gone to prepare a place for his bride. And that's the picture that we have here, that Jesus is the heavenly bridegroom. Jesus is our heavenly husband. And Jesus has gone to heaven, and he's preparing a place for his bride, for the church, for the redeemed. And Jesus tells us that one day, as our bridegroom, as our heavenly husband, he's coming back. And he's coming back for us, the church. And he's going to take us to his Father's house. The bridegroom will return one day. But listen to this. in Jesus' time and in Jesus' culture, the bride didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. The bride, she didn't know. She just knew, hey, eventually, one day, soon, my bridegroom is coming. My husband is coming for me, and he's going to take me to his father's house for the wedding. But the bride, she didn't know. She didn't know what day. She didn't know what hour. She didn't know the precise moment. And so literally, the bride always had to be ready, because she just knew, one day my husband is going to come for me. One day my bridegroom is going to come for me. But she didn't know when. And so you want to know the picture we have in the Bible is of a bride who always has to be ready. She always has to be ready. She always has to have oil in her lamp. She always has to be pure and be holy. She always has to be waiting for her bridegroom. She always has to be prepared. She can't be distracted. She can't be talking to other people. She can't be focused on other things, because she might miss the bridegroom. She might miss her heavenly husband coming. And so the picture we have is one of a bride that always has to be ready. You always have to be ready. You always have to be prepared. Jesus would tell us in a parable, you always have to have oil in your lamp, because he tells us, I can come in the night. And if you don't have oil in your lamp, you can be left behind. You can get lost. You got to make sure you're waiting for Jesus. You got to make sure that you're waiting for that day when the bridegroom comes. Because guess what? He's going to come as a judge standing at the door. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And he's going to come as a bridegroom for his bride. And he tells us, behold, I'm coming. And I'm coming quickly. I'm coming soon. I'm coming without delay. And that is the word that the Lord is telling all of us tonight. I'm coming soon. And literally what the Holy Spirit wants to do, and this is for all of us, especially me, is he wants to shake us. It's almost like with these words, with these illustrations, with these verses, the Holy Spirit is shaking us, and he wants to wake us up. He wants to wake us up, and he wants us to understand, hey, this is serious. This is so serious for all of us. The Lord is coming, and he's coming soon. And we have to be ready. We have to be prepared, because he can come at any hour. He can come right now. He can come in 15 minutes. He can come in an hour. He can come tomorrow. We don't know. The only thing we know is he's coming soon. And the Holy Spirit wants to shake us. He wants to shake me up. We're starting a new year. Let's start it with a shake up, with an awakening. It's like the Lord is just sounding an alarm, and he's telling all of us, hey, this could be the year. Why not? Some of you would say, well, I don't know. Well, guess what? The Bible says that people saying, I don't know, is evidence that Jesus is coming back. So you're just confirming what the Bible is saying, because Peter says that in the last days, there'll be scoffers. That in the last days, there will be people doubting the return of Jesus. That in the last days, there will be people saying, he's not coming back. Not this year, not this month, not this week. And Peter says that's how you know he's coming back. When you start hearing scoffers, when you start hearing doubters, when you start hearing people denying the faith, denying the return of Christ. Peter says that's how you know he's almost here. He's almost about to come. And the Holy Spirit is telling all of us, He's coming. And he's coming soon. And we need to be prepared. Now there's two ideas there. There's two ideas. First, we need to make sure we're in Christ. And that simply means you need to make sure that you're born again, serving the Lord, walking with Jesus in Christ. You better make sure you're part of the bride, that you're part of the church. That's the first way you prepare, is you surrender your life to Jesus. You give your life to Christ with your heart. You confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's a heart religion. It's a personal relationship. You need to make sure that you're in Christ. That's the first way we prepare. Now, after you're in Christ, after you're a believer, you need to make sure that you're just ready. You just need to make sure, okay, I'm in Christ, and now I'm going to wait for my king to return. I'm going to wait for my heavenly husband. And you need to make sure you're not distracted. You need to make sure that if you're going to focus on something, you need to focus on Jesus. You need to focus on your relationship. You need to make sure, man, when the Lord comes back, I'm not going to be doing nothing embarrassing. I'm not going to be caught with my hands in the cookie jar, but I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be serving the Lord. I'm going to be walking with Jesus, because we don't want to go with no baggage. We want to make sure, man, I'm in and I'm ready to stand before my King. Because listen to this. When he comes back, he's going to bring his reward. And that's the second thing we see. So let's turn back to Revelation 22. We'll end with this, fam. Like I said, I had 3 points, but I wanted to make sure at least to give you 2 points. Revelation 22, verse 12. First, the promise of his return, the promise of Christ's return. But then notice at the end of verse 12, the promise of his reward. Jesus also promises us that when he returns, he's going to come with a reward. And notice what he says. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense. What's a recompense? It's simply a reward with me to repay each one for what he has done. The promise of Christ's reward. And so Jesus says, I'm coming soon, and when I come, my reward is coming with me. My reward is coming with me. And I'm going to reward everyone according to what they have done. Now notice that as believers, notice our reward is not in this world. Notice that first there in the text, that our reward, our treasure is not of this world. What we really want on that last day, notice, it's not found in this world. It's not of this world. It's not something of this world. But notice that our reward is in the hand of Jesus. What you want and what I want ultimately is in the hand of Jesus, and it's going to be given, it's going to be distributed when Jesus returns. And he promises us that when he comes back, he will bring his reward. He will bring a reward with him. And let me just say this, on that day, we're going to want a reward. On that day, you're going to want good works. On that day, you're going to want to be rewarded by Jesus. Now, let's talk a little bit about this, and we'll actually end with this point. I don't want to take too long because I want you guys to come back. Amen. I don't want you guys to think, oh, he's too long-winded. I'm not going back. No, no, I want you to come back, so I'm not going to be too long. But this is what I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because what we find is the New Testament talks a lot about this reward. The apostles, especially Paul, he spoke extensively about this reward that Jesus is going to bring. Now, most definitely we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And so from beginning to end, the Bible teaches us that salvation is by faith. You don't work for your salvation. You don't earn your salvation. You don't bring nothing to the table, just your sins. But it's all by grace through faith in Christ alone. Justification comes solely on the basis of faith. But listen to this. After salvation, after you believe in Christ, the Bible does teach that your works are important. That your works, that what you do after salvation is important. It's very important. That the Lord is watching, the Lord is looking, and one day the Lord will reward on the basis of works. Now you're saved by grace, but you're rewarded on the basis of works. And this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. He says this, for we, so he's talking to believers. He's talking to the church in Corinth, the Corinthians. He includes himself in this. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The word literally is bema seat. We will all appear before the bema seat of Christ. And then notice what he says, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the what, family? In the body. Everyone will receive what they have done in the body. But then notice what he says, whether good or whether evil. Now, the word evil should be translated worthless. Worthless. And so the idea is one day, every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will all stand before the bema. Now on that day, we will not be judged for our sin. Because remember, we're saved by grace, by the grace of God. At the cross, Jesus took all our punishment. He took all our judgment. So this is not that type of judgment. But what it is a reward ceremony. It's an examination day where Jesus will examine our works. He's going to examine your Christian life, all of the years that you served the Lord on this earth. Jesus will examine it. It's literally going to, you're going to stand before King Jesus, and your entire Christian walk is going to literally flash on a screen, and Jesus will examine it. It will literally pass through fire, through an examination. And what you did for him, the times you gave, the times you were faithful, the times you sacrificed, what you did for Jesus on this earth with the right heart, with the right motive, you will be rewarded. King Jesus will reward you. He will reward you with crowns, the Bible teaches us. But everything you did for yourself, everything you thought you did for the Lord, but you had a wrong heart, you had a wrong motive, you were really doing it for yourself, Jesus will also examine those things. And those are what Paul calls evil things, worthless things. In another part, he talks about how those things are like straw, like wood, hay, and straw. And Jesus is going to examine them. They're going to go through the fire, and they're going to be burned up. They're not going to receive a reward. Paul says that one day, every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be examined. We will be judged on what we did for Jesus. Because listen to this. Every single one of us, we've been given something from the Lord. Every single one of us. Now, this is the temptation. When you hear that, okay, everybody's been given something. The temptation is always, okay, well, what has God given me? I mean, I can't speak like that. I can't sing like that. I can't play like that. I don't know the Bible like that. Has God really given me something? And the answer is yes. Let me give you some examples. First, God has given you life. Life. Because obviously you're not dead, you're here, right? Life. Second thing God has given us by God's grace, many of us, is salvation. Our eyes have been opened. We know the truth. We understand these things. There's a conviction in our hearts that, yeah, these things are true. This is the Word. Jesus is Savior. He is Lord. What about this? The third thing God has given us, energy, health, time. Many of us, God has given us work. We have resources. Maybe not too much resources. Maybe not too wealthy, but we do have something. Many of us know two languages. At least you know one language. Amen. I think all of us know at least one language. We know how to read. We have our right mind. We're not in a coma. We're not in a ward. We're not in prison. God has given us talents. Every single one of us has been given a talent, a gift, spiritual gift. Some of us are amazing givers. We love to give. There's brothers here that they love to give. They have the gift of giving. You know, when we were picking up the bikes, there was people calling me, I'll bring two, I'll bring three. They were begging to give. That's a gift that God has given them. There's some who are exhorters. You love to exhort. Every time I talk to you, you encourage me. You bless me because you're so positive. You're such an encouragement. We call that the gift of exhortation the Holy Spirit has given you. Some of you love to pray. You just love to spend time in prayer. You're just an intercessor. Some of you love to read. You just love to study God's word. Every single one of us have been given gifts, talents, abilities, resources, time, energy. We've been blessed with a church that teaches the word. Every single one of us has been given something. Something. God has placed something in your hand. Right now, God has filled your hands with so many things. And here you are in this world. You only got one life, one opportunity. And one day you will stand before Jesus, and all those things are going to just be flashing before you. Everything God gave you, every opportunity, every resource, every gift is going to flash before you. It's going to be on screens before you. And King Jesus will be standing right there before his throne, and he's going to show you everything. And he's going to say, what did you do with all these things? What did you do with everything I gave you? What did you do with those resources? What did you do with that time? What did you do with all that money that I gave you? What did you do with those talents? I gave you so many talents, so many gifts, so many resources. What did you do? What did you do? Maybe the Lord will say, hey, what did you do with church? I connected you with the church. There was brothers and sisters who loved you, who taught you the word. What did you do? What did you do with those opportunities I gave you? I put you in places where there were non-believers. At work, there was non-believers who surrounded you. I would give you opportunities to witness, to be a blessing, to serve them. And I believe one day, The Lord is going to tell all of us, what did you do? What did you do? That day is coming. Paul says, we all must appear. You see that word must? He's saying it's a necessity. It's going to happen. It has to happen. There will be a reward ceremony one day. You can't just skate through your Christian walk thinking, okay, I'm just going to be in heaven. That's all that matters. No, Paul says we must appear. There's a day of examination, a day of accountability. Every single Christian will stand by themselves in front of King Jesus. And on that day, the Lord is going to say, what did you do for me? We're saved by grace, so don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand my words. We're there by grace. We're in heaven by grace, by a work of God. But rewards come through works. Rewards are important to the Lord. Works are important. It's what you do after you're saved. That's important. You can't just skate through your Christian walk. Jesus didn't die for us just to do whatever we want. But there's accountability. There's a day of examination. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And my reward is coming with me. And I want to end with this, family. I just want to end with this on that day. This has always been my prayer. This has always been my prayer because this is for all of us. I'm not perfect. I'm far from where I need to be. I need more of the Lord like you need more of the Lord. But this has always been my prayer. Lord, on that day, I don't want any regrets. On that day. Lord, on that day, I don't want to say, Lord, I could have prayed more. I could have gave more. I could have shared my faith more. I could have sacrificed more. I could have studied more. I could have preached more. I could have taught more. I could have loved more. On that day, I don't want to say that, Lord. I don't want any regrets. And that has literally driven me all these years. That's always in my heart. Since I first gave my life to Christ, no regrets, Lord. I don't want any regrets. I don't want to stand before Jesus one day and think to myself, I could have done more. Could have went to church more. Could have participated more. I could have served in a ministry. I could have done something. I don't want any regrets. And listen to this. I don't want you to have any regrets. Because we're family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't want any regrets. And I don't want you to have any regrets. I don't want you to get to that day and be embarrassed and be ashamed. I don't want you to get to that day and see your whole life burn up. Everything that you stood for, everything you did. I don't want it to go up to flames. I want rewards. And I want you to have rewards. I want you to be prepared for that day. That's one of the works of a pastor, to prepare the people for the day when they stand in front of King Jesus. It's our job as a church to help you, to prepare you, to talk about these things, to kind of shake you every once in a while, to say, hey, you're going to stand before Jesus one day. Come on, get with it. Come to church, participate, give to the Lord, tithe, because one day you will stand before King Jesus. And on that day, I'm not going to be there next to you. I wish I could. I wish I could be like, Lord, but he was busy or she was busy. No. It's just you and King Jesus, just me and King Jesus. And on that day, I don't want regrets, and I don't want you to have regrets. And so what do we do? Well, by the grace of God, now that we still have opportunity, we just have to be faithful. We have to give the Lord everything. Everything, every day, make them a priority. Put him first. Just take everything out of your pockets, out of your wallets, out of your purse, all the talents, all the gifts, and just say, Lord, here it is, Lord. Do what you want to do with my life, Lord. Lord, here's 2019. Lord, 2018 didn't go too good. Lord, I'm glad you didn't come in 2018 because I wasn't ready in 2018, Lord. I didn't put you first, Lord. I was distracted, Lord. I was all over the place, Lord. But new year, new beginning, here I am, Lord. I surrender. I want to be ready, Lord. Lord, I want to be prepared for your return, Lord. I don't want to have any regrets, Lord. I don't want to have no remorse on that day. But when I stand before you, Lord, I just want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want more than anything in life. And you want to know something? That's what I want for you, too. No, that's my prayer for all of us. You know, at the end of the day, I want the Lord to bless you. You know, I want you to be blessed. I want you to have work and health. But more than that, I want you to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Whatever God has called you to, whatever God has given you, the call, I believe every single one of us have a calling. I'm really big on the call. I believe God has called each and every one of us to do something for him. There's a calling, there's a purpose. And whatever it is, I just want you to be faithful. I want you not to be scared. I don't want you to be hesitant. I don't want you to be distracted anymore. I don't want you to give no more excuses, but that you would just say, Lord, here I am, Lord. Use me, Lord. Here's my resources. Here's my talents, Lord. Here's everything you've given me, Lord. It's not a lot, but I give it to you, Lord. Use me, Lord. That this year, Lord, I can make you first. That this year, Lord, I can go to church more. I can give more. I can serve, Lord. I can help in a ministry, Lord. That I can use what you have given me, Lord, for the good of your people and for the glory of your name. That this year, we would live with no regrets. You know, Martin Luther, I end with this. He said this. I only have 2 days on my calendar. 2 days, he says. This day and that day when Jesus returns. And this is what he says. All the days in between those 2 days, I will live getting ready for that day when Jesus comes back. 2 days. Today and when the Lord returns. And the Holy Spirit tells all of us, get ready because he's coming. And he's coming soon, and his reward is with him. And on that day, we don't want any regrets. God bless you, fam. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for this word. And we want to thank you, Lord, that your word is living, your word is powerful, that your word kind of just shakes us, Lord. It shakes me, Lord. It causes me to tremble, Lord. And that's not a bad thing, Lord. It's not a bad thing, Lord. We need to be shaken at times. We need to be woken up, Lord, because you're coming, Lord. You're coming quickly, Lord. You're coming soon. You're coming without delay. And we see all the signs, Lord. All the signs, Lord. All the evidence is there. We look at the world around us, and we see the signs of the times. We see what's going on in the Middle East. We see what's going on in China and Russia. We see what's going on here in the United States. And it's not going to last too much longer, Lord. We're heading for that final day when Jesus returns. And Lord, as your church, as your bride, we need to be ready, Lord. And what keeps me up at night, Lord, what kind of troubles me, Lord, is just the thought that not everyone is ready, Lord. Not everyone who comes to this church, not everyone who sits in the chairs are ready, Lord. Many are, and I'm thankful for that, but also many aren't, Lord. And if there's someone here tonight that they're not ready. Lord, I pray that you would touch their hearts, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open their eyes, give them the gift of faith and repentance, and that they would trust in you, Lord, that they would just understand that they need Jesus. And what better way to start 2019 than by surrendering their life to Jesus? And I pray for us who are ready in that way, I pray that you would prepare us, Lord, for that judgment day when we stand before you. I pray, Lord, that we would take 2019 and be faithful, Lord. Every single one of us, you've given us gifts. You've given us talents. And Lord, we don't want to waste them, Lord. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my opportunity. I don't want to wait until that day and think, man, I could have done more. I could have gone to church. I should have been more faithful to the services. I could have tithed. I could have given to missions. I don't want that, Lord. We don't want that, Lord. But we only have one life, and it will soon pass. And only what we do for you, Jesus, will last. And Lord, we want to do something for you, Lord. We want to be busy, Lord. We want to use what you have given us. We want to hear those words one day, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we pray, Lord, that you would do that work. It has to be a work that you do, Lord, because we can't do it, Lord. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Touch our hearts. Open our eyes. Wake us up, Holy Spirit. Help us to understand the urgency. Help us to understand that this is urgent. This could very well be it, Lord, and we need to be ready, Lord, because we don't want to leave with regrets, Lord. We want to get ready, and we want to get others ready too, Lord. Family members, co-workers, friends. There's a whole mission field that you have placed before us, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we give you 2019. We give you this new year, Lord. We want to walk with you. We want to serve you. We want to honor you like never before. We give you everything, Lord. We surrender all. How many want to pray that with me? Would every head bow, every eye closed? Would you want to pray that with me? Would you want to just shoot your hand up and just pray that with me? Lord, we give you this year, Lord. We don't know what's going to come, Lord. We don't know what's going to happen, Lord. But we give you everything, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, Lord. Give us the grace, Lord, to be obedient to the calling and obedient to your word, Lord. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord, if we have slacked, Lord, if we have failed you, Lord, if we have not given you what belongs to you. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord. And we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that you would use us this year, Lord. Use us, Lord, that we would be faithful to our calling, Lord. I just commit every brother, every sister. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for what you have done and for what you will do, Lord. I believe, Lord, that this is going to be the year, Lord, that we're going to have a breakout, that we're going to see revival starting in our lives, Lord, starting in our homes, Lord, that this is going to be the year, Lord, that you're going to save those family members that we've been praying for, that you're going to touch the husbands and the wives, Lord, the children, that this will be the year, Lord, that we're going to see your hand at work, Lord. We're believing that. We're trusting in that, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you would get us ready for that day when we stand before you, Lord. Oh, that we would think about that day every day, Lord. That we would think about your return, Lord. And that we would be urgent, Lord. Man, I want to walk with urgency, Lord. Help us not to sleep, Lord. Help us not to be distracted, Lord. Help us not to think that our reward is here on earth. But may we always keep our eyes in heaven, knowing that one day we're going to be standing before King Jesus. And that's all that matters. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us. We need your help. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. This is heavy stuff, Lord. This is heavy stuff. This is real talk, Lord. It's heavy, Lord. And I need your grace, Lord. I need your grace going into 2019. Help us to be faithful, Lord, this year, Lord, that we would be faithful in 2019. Oh, Lord, we love you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you spoke to our lives. And help us, Lord, help us now to leave with this word, Lord, that it wouldn't just be an amen tonight, Lord, and then we forget about it, but that throughout the week we can walk in this word, we can think about this word, and that we can apply it, Lord, and we can start making the changes that we need to make. Oh, Lord, we love you, and we commit all these things into your hands. In Jesus' name, and all of the family says, amen. God bless you, fam. Can we give the Lord a clap offering? Grace and peace, fam. Love you guys, man. God bless you. That was a good, good study. That's a good way to start the year. Grace and peace, fam. We're dismissed. If anybody needs prayer, I'm up here to serve you, to help you in any way. God bless you, fam. Hope to see everybody on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Grace and peace, fam. We're dismissed.